Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to continue into the third week on this series on revival and awakening. And just to remind us, just to keep it before us, we've been working on, or working to, a simple definition. And just keep this before us, just remind us of what that is. And so, Andy, if you can just pop that up. And that's simply been this, that awakening is seeing God moving in a place. So that's seeing God move in a community. And so what we're believing for when we're praying for awakening is for God, if you like, to spiritually wake up our town, to spiritually wake up our community. And we want them to wake up to the fact that Jesus is real, that Jesus is alive. We want them to wake up to knowing that they need a Savior, that they need forgiveness. And so when we're praying for awakening, that is what we're believing God for. And the result of an awakening is that people come to Christ. That has to be at the heart of the agenda of the church. And I'm going to be speaking more about this, but that really needs to be at the heart. We want to see people saved. And so then revival is God moving in the community of faith, and so within the church. And so that's where we see a move of God in the hearts of us, his people. And so we've talked very honestly about how our love levels, our passion levels, our joy levels can sometimes dip or deteriorate, but that God can revive those. And so we've talked about how revival is restoration, is a phrase I've been using. Revival is restoration. And so it's when God touches the hearts of his people and restores and revives a level of love and passion and joy that perhaps we have been missing or have lost something of. And so there are two things that we're wanting to believe God for, what we're praying for, revival and awakening. Now, what I've really wanted to try and get us to grasp over the last couple of weeks and as we go forward now is what I'm gonna call throughout the course of this morning the outside-inside principle. The outside-inside principle. Just a nice, easy one for you to remember. And you've heard me kind of mention this a little bit, but I feel like I'm giving it an official title today. And that is simply this. If we want to see something happen outside the church, we need to be right with God inside the church. Okay, so it's the outside-inside principle. I said last time I read you that account of the Welsh revival and awakening that happened there, and that the Bible and history proves that revivals that happen inside of church precede awakenings that happen outside of church. So we need a move of God inside the community of faith that breaks out and touches the community outside of church. So how many people here have ever said things like, or prayed things like, King's Lynn, or, you know, our town needs a move of God? How many people would just say they've said that or they've prayed that in some way, shape or form? I'm sure at some point we've all said about, like, you know, or, you know, our community needs a move of God, or our schools need a move of God, or, you know, but where we live, we've often said things like along those lines. Friends, what I want to put before you today is simply this. What our town needs is a church on fire for Jesus. Okay? Our town needs a church on fire for Jesus. Actually, what our town needs is for inside of the church to be full of love and passion for Jesus. For inside of church to be full of joy. For inside of church to be full of people who are passionate, as I said last time, about personal holiness, about living right with God, about doing life right with him. Francis Chan, I really appreciate his stuff. He said this. He said, "The church is a group of redeemed people that live and serve together in such a way that their lives and communities are transformed." Andy Stanley said this, "Jesus is the hope of the world, and the local church is the vehicle of expressing that hope to the world." Do you know this morning that the church is God's strategy for reaching our world? And by the church, we must always remind ourselves that the church is the people, the ecclesia, the called out people. Jesus created the church. Jesus died for the church, and Jesus has entrusted his mission to the church, to his people. And so actually what happens inside of church, and by inside, I don't mean When I say what happens inside a church, I don't mean like the types of programs or events that we're running. I mean something different, which I'm going to touch on in a moment, because actually what happens inside of church really matters. Okay, and when I'm talking about what happens inside of church, I'm talking about, for want of almost a better expression, the way we do church, the way the life inside of the church, the health of the church could be another way of doing it. That's what I'm talking about, the internal health of the church, the way we do church as we gather together, the way we approach church really matters, because actually our town needs a people on fire for Jesus. And actually, if inside of here is right, then something, I believe wholeheartedly, it's not a throwaway statement, friends, I believe with all my heart, if we fall deeper in love with Jesus, if our passion for him grows stronger, if our joy levels deepen, and if we're passionate about living right with him, I confidently say to you, I'm expecting God is going to do something outside of this building. I believe that, because you go out from this place and you'll carry that into your workplaces and your homes, and we can expect God to do something outside. And so if inside the church is healthy, outside of its stuff will begin to happen. So I'm going to focus a little bit now on in this kind of perhaps a little almost mini series within a series. But I'm just going to focus a little bit now about the life inside the church. And I want to just talk for a bit about what healthy church looks like inside. And we're going to go back to a well-known scripture that actually we've done a whole series on. I'm trying to think if it was this year or last year now, but Acts chapter 2, because if we want the best model of what church should look like, we need to go back to the early church. Okay, and so we need to look at the early church and see, well, what was life like inside the early church? And so if you want to go in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, we're just going to read through from verse 42 to 47, and I'm just going to remind us of what life looked like inside the church. What we're actually looking at when we're reading this now is what Jesus intended church to look like. Okay, so it says there, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. All who believed were together. Would you say that with me this morning? All who believed were together. Okay. You can highlight that word together. You can underline that word together, because we're coming back to that in a minute. And had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God. Now, I'm just going to pause there. What we've just read is the inside life of the church. Okay, this is what's going on inside of church. Okay, and then what happens as a result of the inside life of church is this, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. That's the outside. So what we see right there in Acts chapter 2 is the outside-inside principle. Something happened outside of the four walls, if you like, for want of a better expression, because there's debate over where, you know, the places they gather. But outside of the church, metaphorically speaking, something happened in the whole realm of people coming to Christ, and an incredible favor with people in the community because of this incredible life and dynamic and health that was inside of the church. Okay, and so now many times I've read this many times. How many people have heard this scripture, read this scripture many times? Probably heard sermons on it, preachers on it, there's books written on it, there's so much on it, and there's different things that God highlights, but the word that God highlighted to me was the one I got you to repeat earlier on, and that was the word together. See, as a people, as a church, they were called and purposed to impact outside of their church. God, Jesus had given them a clear mandate. The Great Commission was upon them. They were called to see their community transformed. They were called to see people come to Christ. They had been purposed and called to this adventure. of seeing people saved, but the impact that they would have outside of their church hinged upon the health that was present inside of their church. Because one focus that we see straight away, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, is that they were incredibly passionate about their relationship with Jesus Christ. Friends, the impact in the outside world hinges upon how passionate and on fire we are for Jesus. And so what we see there is this incredible togetherness. Verse 44 says, in this purpose, in this call to impact outside, they were together in creating this healthy culture inside of church. And so this togetherness, I believe, was more than just an attendance thing, but actually, of course, it has to first be that as well. But it was more than just they were simply together in a room. But listen, how many people know, you know, it's showing up that speaks volumes, isn't it? You know, people, someone say, I'm with you in that, and then you never see them. You think, well, they're not really with me in that. But, you know, so yes, it was an attendance thing, but I'll say a little bit more about this, because something that sometimes, if I'm being very honest, saddens me is that somehow in some people's thinking, local church gets relegated down to some kind of like register, you know, which is just about like, we want to just tick you in. The call of local church is so much more than that. And so we're going to explore that together today. But they were together in a different way. There was a togetherness about them that actually 10 times in the first 5 chapters of Acts, it speaks about the togetherness that was inside the early church. So it uses phrases like this. They were of one accord. They were of one heart. They were of one purpose. They were of one spirit. They were all united in thought. So inside church, they were together, Acts tells us, in their devotion. Verse 42, one to their relationship with God, two to the word of God. The apostles' teaching, that was the teachings of Christ. We now have them in our New Testament, so let's just say the Bible, the Word. Right, so they were committed, devoted to their relationship with God, to the Word, which is the Bible. They were committed to the fellowship. They were committed to church. We see that. Local church was a commitment for them there. They were committed to communion, and they were committed to prayer. And this amazing stuff is triggered as a result of that. It speaks about awe that came upon people. It speaks about signs and wonders. It speaks about an incredible level of deep love and care. And it talks about just this radical level of generosity. But what I love about it is it says this, they devoted, quote, themselves. Themselves. See, what God seems to highlight in the corporate life of the church is an individual devotion, first to Christ, and secondly, to local church. There's this individual devotion. They individually devoted themselves to following God, to their relationship, to the word, to prayer. And they individually devoted themselves to the life, or shall we put it this way, or to the health of the church, to going, to gathering, to giving. It's all in there. Friends, and this is the model that's presented to us, which I've highlighted in red in my notes, because I think this is huge, and I really want us to grasp this. And it's this, really. They individually followed God, but they didn't follow him as a bunch of individuals. They individually followed God, but they didn't follow him as a bunch of individuals. So there's this individual devotion to God, to the word, to church, to communion, to prayer. There's this radical level of generosity. There's this deep love and care. It was signs of their togetherness. In other words, each person individually stepped up and said, hey, I want to play my part in making sure inside of the church that I'm part of is full of life, is healthy, and is going places. And so they individually followed God, but they didn't follow him as a bunch of individuals. There was this wonderful sense of togetherness. Do you know, throughout the Word, God actually spends a lot of time highlighting the kind of culture that he wants to see inside of church. And if we get it right, something's going to happen outside. John 17, verse 22 to 23, Jesus prayed an inside-outside prayer for us. He says, "As I've given them the glory that you have given me, that they may be one as we are one, that they may be in unity or together. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to what? Complete unity." What happens when that happens among us, as he's praying for us, what happens when that comes, when that togetherness, when that unity comes? "Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Wow, the life inside of church has an impact upon our effectiveness, or the effectiveness of our witness outside of church. And so 59 times in the New Testament, God speaks about things inside of the church that he has called us to do for, quote, one another. One another. And so 59 times there, we read about a one another culture that God wants to see in operation inside the church. Now, I've asked Martin and Wendy just to be my runners, because I'm just going to take you through some of these one another's that are inside a church. And on this slip of paper, I've written them, and I'd like everyone to have a slip of paper. So there'll be a pile that begins from the front, and there may be a pile that begins from the back, and just pass it along. I just want you to take one and just slip it in your Bible and just keep it with you, but just pass them round amongst one another. And let's just look at this together. So here are the things that inside the church, I haven't got all the scripture references up there because frankly I just couldn't fit them all on one page, but they are on the sheet of paper that's coming round to you. So this is what God wants to see inside the church. Love one another. Be at peace with one another. Build up one another. Be of the same mind towards one another. He calls us to give preference to one another, to greet one another, to value and honor one another, to serve one another, to receive one another, to be devoted to one another, to bear and share one another's burdens, to instruct and teach and counsel one another, to care for one another, to show tolerance towards one another, to be kind and forgiving to one another, to submit to one another, comfort one another, encourage one another, be compassionate with one another, to pray for one another, to confess your faults to one another, to accept one another, to be truthful with one another. Now, why does God look for such a culture as that inside of church? Now, hold on to this outside-inside principle as I read you a piece from a book called Irresistible. It says this: imagine a world where people were skeptical of what we believed, but envious of how well we treated one another. Once upon a time, it was so. Once upon a time, the one another culture of the church stood in sharp contrast to the bite and devour one another culture of the then pagan world. Within that context, people found the church to be somewhat irresistible. What was true then should be true today. God's one another list should epitomize the reputation of those who call themselves Christians. When people outside the church think about folks inside of the church, the items on the list should come to mind. Everybody wants to be one anothered. Everybody wants to feel included in a community characterized by one another love. The one another way, the way of Jesus, appeals to something that resides in the soul of every man, woman, and child. The one another way appeals to our desire to be included, recognized, and loved. So what if we did just that? What if we just one anothered one another better? Why not? After all, Paul said, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. See, the way we one another is huge, both to the internal health of our church and to the outside impact of it. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through to 16, Paul is talking, I'm coming back to that one another list in a minute, just bear with me. Paul is talking to the church about the culture he wants to see inside of church, about how they are to one another, how they were to treat one another. And in verse 15 to 16, it kind of reaches something of a crescendo, and he shares his vision, the vision God gave him for the church. All of that one another, and if you like, is for this reason. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Verse 16 in the New Living Translation, I love the way it puts this. We do all of this so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. See, friends, the goal inside of church is to become more like Jesus. That has to be the goal, to grow in his likeness. I guarantee this, the more like Jesus we become inside of church, the more impact we're going to have outside of it. The more Christ-like we become, the more impact our town is going to see or feel. But the point that Paul is making is this, that we never reach the goal and actually grow like we're intended to grow and actually become healthy like we're intended to become healthy and grow and full of love unless it says each part is working properly. So that means really for me two things. That means two things. Two things that I believe are unhealthy, and yet you can sometimes find them inside of church. The first is this, isolated Christianity. And the second is what I'm calling sideline Christianity. Isolated Christianity and sideline Christianity is actually unhealthy. And it doesn't actually help or contribute to the health and the growth and the levels of love that are inside of church. See, in your hands there, you've got a one another list. But you know what? You cannot pray for one another, love one another, or encourage one another if you don't have others to love, pray for, and encourage. And so actually, I cannot one another you if I don't have you in my life, and I don't value having you in my life. And similarly so, as a Christian, as a man who loves Jesus Christ, I cannot receive the love and prayer and support and care and encouragement that Jesus says I need if I don't have you in my life. See, friends, whether we like it or not, we need each other. Just have a look at the person next to you and say, I need you in my life. You cannot one another yourself. You cannot one another yourself. So Jesus has called us to follow him together, not alone. So friends, it's so sad when local church gets relegated to being like people think it's just like being a tick on a register. No, friends, this is where you come to minister and to be ministered to. This is actually where you come to give and to receive. And if I don't give or I don't receive, I'm all the poorer for it. But if I give and I receive and I minister to and I'm ministered to, things in here become really healthy inside of church and in my life. You see, out of 114 times, I read this the other day, that the church is mentioned in the New Testament, at least 99 of them refer to a specific local gathering of believers who came together for fellowship and mission. So there is the global church. I'm part of the church. That's the global church of Jesus Christ. But yet 99 times out of 114, in the Word of God, God talks about the value of local church, about coming together as a group of believers for fellowship and for mission. Friends, God is passionate about local church. God is passionate about local church. He is passionate about our togetherness. Psalm 133 tells us what? Where there is unity, the Lord commands a blessing. That togetherness. And so actually inside of church, it's fascinating. You can study more of this in your own time. I just highlighted a few things of what God says I'm to find inside of church. So I mustn't isolate myself from this. Actually, I must love and prize and value local church, because God says inside of church is where, number one, I find leaders who are given a mandate from God to teach me God's word and to care for my soul. I'm equipped to do God's work. Number two, I'm equipped to do God's work and I'm built up in my faith. It's where I grow and I learn and I get to know Jesus more. Number three, I find a family who help me keep on the right path. People who want to help me keep me from sinning and straying from Christ. Number four, I find people who help to motivate and encourage me in my walk with God. Number five, it's where I go to celebrate and remember with others why Jesus died and rose again. That's what communion's all about. Number six, I find love and care from those who go there, and I give that same love and care to those who go there too. Number seven, it's where I gather and then I go. I launch out from there to share the gospel with those who don't know Jesus Christ. Now, can you see how if we lose the value of that, how unhealthy we are? But with that in our life, we become much healthier. And so I just want to kind of speak, you know, because I think that something the enemy loves to encourage is isolation. And I've kind of spoken to this before, but I feel really passionate about this, that he wants to encourage isolation. And often the times when it comes, and I'm speaking from experience, and I'll let you in on a little bit of my story in a minute. I'm speaking from experience. It's often in those times when you feel low, you feel a bit down, you feel, you know, in a bad place for whatever reason, or you're stressed about something, or, you know, you're overly tired or something. There is a fine line, friends, that we walk between what is self-care and preservation and what is isolation. It's a fine line. I'm not saying I disvalue, or if that's even a word, is it? If it's not, I made it up. And, you know, I'm not saying I don't value self-care. That's absolutely right to do that and to rest, of course, is absolutely right. But, friends, there are moments we need to do that, but it must never actually develop into an isolation. It must never develop into that stage where actually now what's happening is I'm being removed from the life inside of the church, because I need you and you need me. And so actually, I actually begin to lose. Why would I want to lose all this in my life? Why would I want to kind of stop finding that care? Why would I want to stop being built up and in my faith and growing and knowing love in Jesus more? Why would I want to lose people around me who are going to help me kind of to stay on the right path and encourage me? And why would I want to not celebrate with others why Jesus died and rose again? Why would I not want that love and care and not want to give that love and care? And why would I not want to gather and then go and tell people how amazing my Jesus is? And so actually we need to love one another, and a sign of our love for one another is our togetherness. And so, you know, it's kind of dangerous, because it cuts me off from those things if it develops into isolation. And I just find that sometimes in my times where I struggle, and I do struggle from time to time, when I struggle, what begins to happen is I don't want to be around anyone. Anyone else? I don't want to be around anyone. But friends, you know, this one event, I went into that place and I struggled massively. I was in a community of faith. I was going through a bit of a difficult time and I didn't want to go out. I didn't want to sit and I didn't want to talk. And one night, thank God for my lovely wife, you know, at 1 o'clock in the morning, she's saying, "What is up? Where have you gone? This is not who you are." And I begin to realize, oh my life, I'm slipping into an isolation. And I need to kind of break out of that, because you are where I find what so much of what I need in my life. And actually, I'm the poor if I haven't got you, and without sounding arrogant, you're somewhat the poor if you haven't got me. Each other. I'm just using me as an example, you know, not just me, before you think I'm a big head, all right? So, but friends, we need each other because God's plan is for us to do life together, not solo. So, you know, you being here and being part of things, friends, it matters. People think you get sad when someone just don't show up because they ain't showed up. No, it gets sad because actually I think we're missing what local church is all about. And our impact together as a bunch of individuals who follow Jesus, but not as individuals. So I'm committed to my local. Second one is sideline Christianity, and I'm nearly done. You know, church cannot be healthy inside if I sit on the sidelines, if I leave it to somebody else. You know, no, somebody, that's somebody else's job. You know, I'm gonna preach this right now, okay? Friends, that one another ministry that you have in your hands today, that is not the pastor's ministry. And that is not somebody else's ministry. That's your ministry. That's what Jesus has called every one of us to do. So I can't look around and say, oh, well, the pastor, you know, friends. The amount of times that someone comes and tells me about what someone else has done and then wants me to sort it out. That they've seen or they've heard or they've said, have you done, you know, I think you need to have a word with them. I'm just going to go, there's a list, you have a word with them. It's a part of a one another ministry. That person needs love or visitation. Love and visit them. That person needs a word of encouragement. Go and encourage them. I'm preaching quite good now, aren't I? Friends, it's a one another ministry. In fact, Ephesians 4 says the pastor's job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So it's not just the pastor's ministry. It's not just somebody else's ministry. Somebody else will pick it up. They're in need. Somebody else will pay for that for them. You know, they're looking flat and discouraged this morning. They look like they're going through a hard time. Oh, I pray God you'll send someone to send them a word of encouragement. Here I am, Lord. Send them. You know, it's that classic thing. No, here I am, Lord. Send me. You know, the image, and I really am nearly done, the image of God, the image God uses for the church in the Bible is a body. And that's actually really powerful because I want you to just imagine for a moment that one of your legs is paralyzed. Okay? Have you ever had that sometimes where I've had it, you know, where you you fall asleep when you're praying? Anyone else ever do that? In a position, you're kneeling before God like the holy man of God that you really are. And you conk out and you kind of wake up and you've not prayed anything and you quickly stand up to your feet and you realize you've lost all use in one of your legs. You know, and it's kind of, you get the pins and needles and it goes. I've had that happen so many times. Now, what happens when I lose use of this leg, if this leg is not working like this leg needs to work, let's pretend it really is paralyzed now. If this leg is not working like this leg really needs to work, what happens is the rest of the body has to compensate for the fact that that's not working. So now there's more strain than there's ever been on this side of my body and the other parts of my body to deal with moving the inactive part of my body that doesn't want to go with me. So there's all these other parts of my body that are working, but there's a strain that's coming upon, a pressure that's coming upon because this leg is no longer working. Friends, that is forcing the body to work twice as hard. It's having to compensate for the inactivity. It's having to cause it to feel the strain. I just want to say to us this, that in that image that just spoke to me, that actually if we don't play our part inside of the church, it puts strain on the rest of the body. It actually hurts the body. And other people have to compensate for things because there's parts that are inactive. And so you've got some who are doing, I don't know, so many jobs, it's ridiculous and working so hard. And others are just saying, hey, that's all right. I just come on a Sunday. You know, that's not what God calls us to. We can't leave this stuff to everyone else. I'm called to be an active part of the body of my church. So the inside of church becomes healthy when we get intentional about one anothering one another. So people come to me and say, I can't preach. That's fine. I can't teach. No problem. I can't lead worship. That's fine. Because not necessarily everyone is gifted or called to any of the above. You might be, but you might not be. But you know what, friends? You can do everything that's on that list. People say, I don't know what my ministry is. That's your ministry. I don't know what part I can play in church. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what my part is. What's my purpose? What am I supposed to do? That's your ministry. What if we started coming to church just going, who can I one another today? Who can I bring a word of encouragement to? Who can I just value and honor? Who can I just bless? Who can I just go and love and just put my arm around? Who can I see who's carrying a real burden at the moment? I can just go sit with them and just say, hey, I want to pray with you about that. I want to carry that burden. I'm going to continue to pray for you about that. Who can I just go and rejoice with over something good that God has done in their life? You know, who can I go and weep with the person who's actually going through that tough time? Can I just have that list, please? Why have we actually come? Who can I serve today? Who can I comfort? Who can I be kind to? Who can I forgive? Whew. Who can I pray for today? Who can I actually go and have a chat with and say, do you know what? I've really stuffed it up this week. I just need to share that with you. I just need you to pray with me. See, friends, it's not the church with the best programs, greatest resources, or facilities running inside that transforms communities. It's the church with the best togetherness. It's the church that's together in their devotion to Christ, to the Word, to their church, to communion, to prayer, to radical love, radical care, and radical generosity. There is a way of life that the Bible says we do together inside the church that impacts the world outside of it. I want to close by just reading this quote to you today, if I can. It's a quote by Bill Hybels. Nothing on earth has greater potential to change lives and carry out his kingdom work in your community than your local church. There's nothing like the local church when it's working right. Its beauty is indescribable. Its power is breathtaking. Its potential is unlimited. No other organization on earth is like the church. Nothing even comes close. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you today for your church. And Lord, I want to say thank you for every brother and sister who is here today. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for the family of God that I'm a part of. I thank you, God, for every individual who makes up this family. But I thank you that, Father, we're not just a bunch of kind of individuals chucked together. We are a family. Lord, and I just want to pray, Father, I just want to pray for such a health inside of our church. God, I've not said this to slam the culture of our church, but to encourage every one of us to say, hey, I want to step up. I want to play my part. I want to be a part of this because I want to see the inside of my church healthy and growing and thriving and full of love. Because, Lord, there's a whole world outside of this church that needs Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I just praise you and thank you that, Father, if we get these things in place, and Lord, I just want to pray for this. I just want to pray for every one of us, wherever we're at in our relationship with Jesus, that, Lord, we will take steps in the right direction to get closer to you. God, opening up our Bible every day, devoting ourselves to that. Help us to be a church who loves each other, loves the Word. God loves coming together to celebrate and remember why you died, loves to pray. God, I pray, Lord, help us to be a people who are deep in our love and our care for one another and in our generosity.